Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast live in studio. I hope it's not echoing. I hope the fan doesn't come off. It's hot as piss here in Australia, but we're live. We just wrapped up Dropship Breakthrough Live, the second one of this year in Noosa Heads, Australia. Cool event. And you asked me right before I got here, what's my takeaways? I'm not sure. I kind of want to pass the buck to you and really think about this. It's surreal. It's surreal to think that I am halfway across the world hanging out with you, and you know, 30 entrepreneurs showed up to hang out with us. Kind of surreal, honestly.
Yeah, it was pretty wild for me too. I think, and I said this at the event, like looking back 10 years to when I started here in Australia, it was like nobody doing high ticket dropshipping, right? It was super hard to kind of connect with people and find people who were going through the same sort of experience. And so to be able to like do something that was missing from the start of my journey, I think was really cool to finally get around to doing that. Same as when we did it in Minneapolis as well. I mean, I think that was, nobody does this really on US soil for high ticket dropshipping. So I think that was pretty cool as well. But hey man, I think one of the first things I got out of it, like when you put these things on, you kind of wonder who's going to rock up. I mean, I actually thought, I wonder if anyone will rock up because it was the first time we were doing it, right? And so it was cool to see, to me, like there were some people in the room who showed up who hadn't even launched their business yet. And to me, that's wild. I think one of those guys, Will, was like 19 or something like that.
Yeah.
And if I think back to when I first started, I wouldn't have done that. I don't think. I think I would have been too scared to show up to an event right at the start. Like I would have been thinking, man, I don't belong here yet. You know, I haven't got any success yet. But so we had a few guys like that. And women. And I think that was pretty cool to see them alongside like people who had been doing it for like 6 years, you know, still showing up for these sorts of things and very prepared to learn. You know, I think it was super cool to have people on either end and certainly everywhere in between as well, kind of get to hang out. And, you know, I think that's a really cool thing and something probably I didn't expect necessarily.
It's always good to see the community come together. I can remember being super nervous going to events like this and then finding your people, and you're like, you just kind of settle in and you realize, oh man, this is where I belong. But it does take a little while. But you see that, we saw it in Minneapolis. We were handing out bags and people didn't really want to hang out with us. They wanted to go hang out with all the other people that they had seen on a Zoom screen or whatever, and now they're in person. We saw the same thing here, right? We hand out the stuff and everyone, they want to go hang out with each other. This is the first time they've been around their people. I thought that was pretty neat. There's definitely a sense of camaraderie too. I don't think in America, I don't feel like you get that like nation bonding where I felt that here. Like you see it in sports, right? Like you go watch soccer or anything that's like worldwide and there's like this sense of nation, right? You see it in the World Baseball Classic too. That's just where I'm more familiar.
Yeah.
That, you know, the Cubans are fighting for the Cubans, right? Or the Puerto Ricans are like all about Puerto Rico. There's not that in America. There's not like, hell yeah, I'm an American. We're going to band together. But you saw that here. There was something like different about the Australian community and how they were all rooting for each other. And to be fair, it is a little bit harder here. It is a little bit more difficult in some aspects, super easy in some other aspects that I think we touched on at this event, which is pretty cool. But just definitely had this like, I'm rooting for you mentality that wasn't necessarily lacking from the American event because everybody was rooting for each other. But there is something different about like the community all of you had as Australians. I don't think I've ever felt that before.
Yeah, right. That's cool. I mean, I think to me, I was a little bit, yeah, I was unsure if something like that would happen just because there were probably people there who don't hang out like on some of our group calls and things like that as much either. And I was kind of a little piece of me was a little bit worried, like people show up and be a bit, because Australians can kind of be a bit less open than people in the US. Like I think people in the US are much more like bubbly and kind of outgoing and talkative. Like you guys kind of just talk to anybody. Like, you know, if you've ever met an American tourist, they just, Start, is that true? Yeah. That's noticeable.
Is that me?
And that's not a bad thing. I don't say that as a criticism, but Australians can kind of often be a bit more reserved. I think maybe that's the right word, like a bit not shy, but just like not so much small talk. We're not so much of a small talkers and that sort of thing, I think, often. And so, yeah, people just got right into it, like with each other and everything. I thought that was super cool.
But wherever you are in the world, you don't hear the term ROAS. You don't hear the term SEO. Yeah, yeah. And so to be in a room that every little pocket you walk by, they're saying things that you want to talk about, it inevitably sucks you in to start talking about those things too and talking about your business. And I think that's really cool. We pushed at both events. Be open about your business. Like, you are your number one cheerleader. If you won't be open about it, who will be? And there's not some person lurking in the woods who's going to, oh my, that's such a great idea, and they're going to come get you. Like, that just doesn't happen, right? Like, it's a lot of work to build a business. And so it was cool to see everyone in both events, and this one particularly, open up about their business and start sharing, hey, here's suppliers I'm using. Here's the benefits of that. There was people in the room who were suppliers. They were the distributors for brands. And so they were helping out. And but like, yeah, I'd love to get you on board as well. It's always cool to see the community. That's my favorite part. I spent my whole life wondering, where are my people? And I think I found that through entrepreneurship. And so to see that in a room like this that we can foster, like, honestly, man, it's a little surreal. It's crazy that they're not only coming to see us, which is also very, very cool and humbling, but they're also there to see their people. And we created that, man. That's so cool.
It's super cool. Yeah. It was like competitive. Both events, there are competitors sitting in the same room and still not getting like standoffish with it or anything like that. Just, yeah, still being open and sharing and that sort of thing. And that was, yeah, I mean, coming from a very different dropshipping background, I think, to where a lot of these people, like some of these guys started with us, I think, you know, in other communities, high-ticket dropshipping communities, is very different. You know what I mean? Like,
look, just call it out. Like, we both came way back. Like, you took it in 2014. I took it in 2015, Dropship Lifestyle. That's where we started. There's a reason we're here today. There's literally an episode on our feed if you haven't watched it yet. It's Dropship Breakthrough versus Dropship Lifestyle or something like that. There's a big fucking difference between the courses. And so one of them is not being open. One of them is simply content. And we got that feedback too. Like, there were so many people that came up and they were like, fuck, man, I've been to the DSL events. You guys crush. This is light years better. And then I would, you know, be like, hey, can you go say that to the camera over there? You know, like, we came from that. We know what that is. Sure. Can you start a business with that? Yeah. I mean, that's the launch pad version of our course. That's the same thing. Here's all that. And then, you know, we had to create 200 plus videos and all the stuff you have to learn to run a business. And so sharing that, being open about your business, these are all things that we try to foster in our community because we didn't find them elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. I like that you called that one out there, Ben.
Why not? Yeah, I don't know.
No, sure. Whatever. No, it's true. It's true. It's always wild. The feedback you get from people as well. I think, yeah, it was really good. I was actually a little bit surprised. I don't know why I was surprised, but it was nice to hear. I'll tell you what I really liked as well. You took us through that mindset session again. You know, once again, something I don't think anybody else in this space talks about is the mindset stuff. So the stuff that Elliot took us through at Minneapolis, and then you did a pretty good job of recreating that, I think.
Big shoes to fill.
I think that went pretty well. I mean, I think that, I don't know if everybody realizes the value of that session when they first go through it, but part of that was, you know, we sent the mic around the room and had everybody share like what their fears are, basically. And it's always shocking when you have 20, 30, 40 people and they do that. And you just hear the same thing over and over again. And I think that's kind of a really awesome experience to be able to put people in. Because as you go through your journey, sometimes, you know, you're worried about this, you're fearful of that, etc. Those things hold you back. And you can sometimes think, oh, is there something wrong with me? Mm. Like, no, these other successful people surely don't feel that. And you gave some examples of, you know, being in a room with really successful people that most people never even meet. And you've heard the same thing from them.
Yeah,
and I think that's such a wild experience as well. I mean, even for me being in that room and hearing all of those people say that stuff both times was quite powerful too.
Look, I'm sure Elliot Rowe won't see this, but he's the number one mindset coach in the fucking world. And so to step into those shoes, I hope I did a good job. I've been around him enough to, you know, try to speak the same language. And it was more so try to get the room to open up. And so, you know, the first exercise we did, and some of our course members will see this on video, this will all be in the course soon, is just write down all the stuff you know you should be doing that you're not doing. and I watch people start lists get longer. And then I said, all right, what's all the stuff your competitors are doing that you're not doing? And simply showing them that this isn't a tactical thing. Everyone knows what to do. And if you don't know what to do, there are tactical things. Our course is a tactical thing out there to walk you through what to do. But often it's a mindset thing of you not doing it. And can we get to the root of that? What is the reason you're not actually taking action in your business? And it usually boils down to, you know, fear of success. Like, if you're successful, what does that mean for your relationships? What will they think of you? Fear of failure. If you fail, what will those relationships think of you? Right. And there's a few other core ones. Not worthiness is a big one too, but, you know, isolating those is going to be different for each person. What held me back is different from what's going to hold you back, but it was pretty common themes. And as we went around the room and talked about those things, you know, if it's three, it was like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 1, 1, 2, you know what I mean? Like, it was just those same things coming up for everybody, no matter where they were at in business. And that's the real work. I think you've heard me say before that entrepreneurship is the greatest self-development program you'll ever go through. It's breaking through all of those things that will actually take you to the next level. Not the next hack you hear on some podcasts like this. No shade to us or shade to any other podcast, but it's in your head. It's simply doing the work that matters. I think we did a podcast or a session on that too, and quite a few podcasts, right? Just do the work. I think, do we have 20, 21 somewhere on that slides? We've put a few out here on the podcast. There's going to be a few more coming. If we can just make one podcast out of each of those, like, that's it. Just do all of the things. And that session seemed to resonate both in the US and here in Australia of simple reminders of things that someone's told you to do before, you've thought about doing before, but us just kind of, you know, kicking you in the ass again to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. That was some of the really cool feedback, I think, from some of the more experienced people there. You know, we had people there, like I said, who had been doing the same business for 6, 5, 3 years. We were talking about what feels like really simple stuff, like call every customer, you know, call abandoned carts, all of that sort of thing. And even those people are like, yeah, man, I need that reminder because I'm not doing all of that stuff. Heck, you and I don't do all that stuff all the time.
It's hard,
right? And I think, yeah, I think it was good to see people like feel that they were getting a reminder out of that. We'll see if they go and do it after the event. You know, it's kind of sometimes one of those things you write a long list of notes down and hopefully you get to it. But yeah, it was really cool.
And shout out to the three guest speakers that we had here. Yeah. Matt Scott, you and I both met a long time ago, and he's one of the rare people that I met way back when that didn't sell his business. He's still doing it. He's still doing it, and he's grown it. I think he has 50 SKUs now of his own products, which is wild to think about, right? In fact, you know, we'll touch on this a little bit later, but the importing here really shocked me. Like, it's so cool how you guys have moved on to importing your own products and almost out of necessity in a country like this, but it's where I think a lot of people aspire to get to in the US. But Matt's done that, right? 50 SKUs, that's a lot of SKUs that he has brought in on his own, still running that same business, well-known in his industry in this country. He's the place to go to for those products. And so Matt walked us through that process. Like, literally, here's what I did. I went to China. I ate duck feet or whatever he said he ate there, right? And then, like, here's how it worked with the suppliers. And so, you know, Matt, if you're listening, thank you. And also, we're going to do everything we can to get Matt to put that in the course because it was so valuable. It was a step-by-step process. So shout out to Matt for working through the importing process and how he did it in his business.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's interesting, isn't it? When you get put in a place where you really have to solve a problem, you go out and solve it. I mean, that's where that comes from in Australia, is there's just not that many suppliers. And sometimes the ones that are here are pretty rubbish. And a lot of them will tell you no. And so what we see some Australians do is, okay, well, you tell me no, I'm going to go and find your manufacturer. And or a similar manufacturer in China. We're a bit closer to China as well, which probably helps here in Australia. And people just go out and solve that problem, right? And I think that in and of itself is a fantastic mindset lesson. Like, you're in business to solve problems. And that's definitely something you can do. Like, I mean, Matt started off not long after us, and he's built that up over seven or eight years, he's been doing it. He didn't start there. He just started dropshipping, like a regular dropshipping business, like everybody else is starting.
The US is so brand focused. And we go look for brands that people have heard of, right? And there are some brands here, but I noticed that there was a lot more generic searches. Yeah. There was a lot more generic fulfillment. And so it was quite easy for you to step in there. once you've garnered that traffic. Another thing I saw, tons of people like doing SEO, because SEO is fucking easy here, by the way. And so like they were only doing SEO, they weren't doing ads, but it was so cool to see how he had imported, how others had imported. I mean, I got to that step, right, with one business. I helped another company get there as well. And we have a little section of the course right now that is the like the beginning part of that, and then saying, hey, somebody please reach out. Let's do this process. I was shocked to come here and see how many people were actually doing that. Like, it's so fucking cool to me that that many people in this room were importing. You said you had, I don't think I even knew that about you, that you were importing before. I'd heard the story about underneath your deck outside, and that has me very excited. In fact, we talked to somebody about an idea you and I had, and hey, can we do that in Australia? And like, you already have this experience. Maybe we can just step right in here. You already have the audience too. And so just cool, man. I don't know. I was blown away by how many people were doing that and really just kind of brushing it off as no big deal, where I think in the US it's like, oh, I'm going to have to do all of this. And here it was a little less fear of the unknown, because it's so normal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There are quite a few people working with like 3PLs and that sort of thing as well, which once again, even if you're not going out and creating your whole brand, even just going and, you know, buying some products in bulk and putting them in a 3PL warehouse, so you get better profit margins. I mean, that's probably a much easier thing to do in the US too. Like, you know, with, I think your 3PLs are probably a bit more cost effective than ours, because your logistics supply chain stuff is way more built out than ours. Right now, shipping and all that sort of stuff is really expensive here in Australia. So I think, you know, even if you're in the US and you didn't want to go all the effort of importing from China, just go and get a 3PL and buy some products in bulk. You're going to get a better profit margin, right? Easy steps.
One more speaker that was talking about that was Carla, right?
Yeah.
So shout out to Carla. Thank you. Thank you for speaking. She's got her own journey. She's got multiple kids and trying to run this business. And yeah, why don't you touch on what Carla spoke about? Like I don't know the right word for her. Like, she blew me away in some interesting way. Like, she's kind of a badass. You know? Like, yeah. I appreciated meeting Carla.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've known Carla for quite some time. She was one of the first people that bought the first course I ever made, sort of thing. Course and coaching program. Yeah, she's amazing. I mean, she's been in it for 6 years or so, and she's once again one of those people who runs into a problem and I think often just goes and solves it. So the story she told of her first daughter that sent her overseas to find products, and she's imported all sorts of different products over the years in her space, but she got like a $200,000 order, which I think is the record. I don't think I've heard of anybody with a higher order than that, high ticket drop shipping, and which was like lots of products. I think it was over 100 individual products. So they weren't super expensive products or anything, and like nobody could supply those. So she just immediately like dealt with the customer and said, negotiated that, and then went, just started like essentially picking up the contact to people in China and got those products made. Kept the order, fulfilled the order. But like, it's another one of those kind of action takers, you know, like just, it happens quickly. You don't sit there and kind of mull it over for weeks and weeks and, oh, should I do it or should I not? She just kind of goes like, I got to make this work.
Yeah.
Like, just go and do it.
We get a lot of questions in Slack of like, the supplier's offering this, what should I say? Or the brand's willing to work with me if I start here. And the same thing she did on that order. She didn't know where she was going to find $200,000 worth of product. She just said yes. And then she figured it out, right? And so same thing when people are calling their suppliers and they're like, they're offering this. Should I say yes? Yeah, say yes. Like, negotiate as you go, but get your foot in the door. And so kudos to her for saying yes and then like going to solve the problem. Because she had mentioned other people had said no. They couldn't figure out how they were going to get this much product. She said yes. She didn't know how she was going to get the product either. And then she solved it and she got a very handsome payday out of the deal for solving the problem.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a six-figure profit on that order. Like, think about that one order, six figures, like, that's more than most people's annual salary, right? And then you're going to run your business for the rest of that year and make even more money on top of that. Like, that's pretty wild. And that's what's possible here. If you, just get out there, say yes, solve the problems. Because there are people out there that have those problems.
She did another exercise too of like bringing you back to your why.
And, yeah.
You know, there's a funny story in there. If you ever watch, if you're in the course and you watch my answer there, you'll get a funny story that was made fun of for the entirety of the event.
Method.
Jeez, come on, man. Anyway, there's a funny story in there. I think it's funny at least. Mm. And but going around the room talking about your why is it's important. Remembering why'd you start this in the first place? Because I think too many people get a little further along and kind of forget that why, or their why changes, or the goalpost is moving. And so having her go around the room and like recenter everyone, and you know, she asked me too, and I think it was something I needed to hear. Like, what was that why? Because I think I'm still discovering it. My big why is like, what am I capable of? And that keeps changing as I reach what I thought I was capable of. And then that opens up a further path to how much better could I be? And it's fun to chase after that.
It is. And once again, I think that was, I'd completely forgotten about that. Thank you for reminding me. I think that exercise once again was another fantastic way of like bringing the room together, because unsurprisingly, most people's whys were pretty similar version of each other, right? You know, what motivated them to get out and try to make that change in their life? What were they running away, trying to run away from, or what were they trying to run towards? And it's just another exercise that I think is so fantastic, because sometimes you think you're a bit of a weirdo. I mean, you and I are weirdos anyway, right? But like, because most of the other people in your life aren't going to think that way. Or even if they do think that way, they're not going to do anything about it, right? Or some of them are just going to think you're an idiot. You're going to be like, oh, why do you want to quit that job? You've got a good income. That's a stupid thing to do. Like, you might hear that from your family. You might have already heard that from your family. And so I think it's real. It was really cool once again to be just hear the same thing from other people who like actually you get to say that out loud and not have somebody go, well, you're a fucking idiot, aren't you? Like actually have people pat you on the back and say, hey, man, rooting for you.
I went the other way for me. I mentioned that I tried meth at like 17 and here we are like everyone's calling me a meth head or like, when you need to get work done, is that when you just crack open the mouth? Man, this was 20 some years ago. And anyway,
you can't do that in front of Australians, man.
Yeah, but I appreciate
we love making fun of people.
It's good to own your story. You know, a lot of people wouldn't even mention that you tried something when you were 17. And to be fair, it helped me graduate high school. Just one night, you know.
Hey, I didn't graduate high school, so I'm
look at that.
You beat me. You beat me with math.
Imagine you guys are signing up for a course for a guy who is this uneducated. It's amazing.
I did go to university though, so
I did too. Minnesota School of Bartending.
That's not a university.
I didn't finish either. It's a 2-week course and
you didn't finish bartending.
Come on. Anyway,
so, did you do enough math?
Oh boy. The third speaker was Blake. So Blake's been on this podcast before. Don't have the ability to pull up the episode now. It's pretty far back there. Blake and Tris were both on here.
15? No, it might have even been before. Yeah, it was one of our Freedom Friday episodes.
Yeah, I think it's like 30, 40, 50 in that range. Anyway, Blake, former copywriter, showed us some pretty cool copy that I don't think people think that way, right? They often take the manufacturer's description, the product name blank, the product features blank, and it's pretty bland, if I'm honest with you. And so I like to teach people to talk to their person. And I think Blake went even a step further than that. Like, he went pretty deep into some hardcore direct response copywriting, showed some examples of weed stocks and other things that he was writing for Agora. Pretty cool presentation. I'm excited if he can get some of that in the course. Like, that's some high level stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's certainly his, the style that he talks about. It's definitely direct response marketing. It's kind of the way I learn it. I don't even remember where I learned much about copywriting. I certainly learned it somewhere along the way. And it was very much that style. And you can contrast that with like Liana, who spoke at our event in Minneapolis, who also spoke about copywriting, but a very, very different style of copywriting. And I think depending on your market and your niche, I think they can probably both work. Like, I think, you know, Liana's really entertaining style. I think there are some niches out there where that's absolutely killer. But yeah, I mean, Blake's that direct response style, not many people use that in high ticket dropshipping either. So I think if you were picking up on some of that stuff, it's definitely, you know, a competitive advantage. You know, we talked a lot about content and, you know, different types of content that you could do on the dropshipping journey and where we think that's going in the future. And, you know, there's all different formats of content that are helpful. Some people love video, some people love to listen, and some people definitely love to read. And so for your potential customers who are the reading, you know, that's their preferred method of digesting information about your products, the sort of stuff that Blake talked about, you know, and he's been a professional copywriter for some very big companies in the got in that space in online selling and e-commerce and stuff. Names that people would have heard of. I don't know if we're supposed to say what those are or not, but
I'm sure there's people listening who are like, what is direct response copywriting? And I mentioned on a previous episode that I used ChatGPT for this. I actually didn't change it to 4, so this is 3.5. And I just said, describe direct response copywriting to a 10-year-old. I'm going to read it word for word. So it says, sure, imagine you want to sell a cool toy to other kids. Direct response copywriting is like writing a letter or an advertisement that tries to convince those kids to buy the toy right away. In this letter or ad, you would use words and pictures to explain why the toy is awesome. You might tell them about all the fun things they can do with it, like playing games or having adventures. You'd also tell them where they can get the toy and why they should get it right now, like saying there's a special discount or that it's running out of stock. The goal of direct response copywriting is to make kids reading the letter or ad excited and want to buy the toy immediately. It's like using words and pictures to persuade them to take action and get the toy right away rather than later. So it's all about convincing people to buy something by writing in a way that grabs their attention and makes them want it right now. Is that accurate? How does that sound?
Yeah, I think the key word in there is persuasion.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's definitely, to me at least, the difference between some of the styles of copywriting. Direct response is very much about, Blake doesn't like it when I say the word manipulate, but and I don't say that in the negative sense, but it's very much about using people, the way that our psychology works, to persuade people that it's the right product to buy, that this is the right place to buy it, et cetera, et cetera. And not in like a, some people probably hear that and go, oh, that sounds really dirty and kind of unethical. I don't mean it like that. Like, we all go through a particular psychological process when we make the decision to buy something, right? Features, emotions, logic, that sort of thing. And direct response is simply taking people through that journey on the page and providing the information they need to decide whether that product, you know, provides that emotional response that you experience subconsciously when you purchase something. And then does the logic stack up for that product? You know, does it do the things? How does it do them? What's the mechanisms? Blah, blah, blah. And so, but persuasion is definitely, you're actively attempting to persuade somebody and being very direct that you want them to buy this thing rather than leaving it up to them to kind of make up their minds, which doesn't really happen. So it's a style of copywriting that I really like. So if you go to the drop, Blake used our website as an example of some of that. You go to the dropshipbreakthrough.com website, there is a bit of direct response copy on there.
Yeah, secretly, I was hoping he was going to shred you. Like, not point you out and be like, John, so great. Here's why. I was like, come on, shred him. He pointed out that it's pretty good.
Yeah. And Blake's coming to, he's going to join the coaching team.
Yeah.
Dropship Breakthrough. So if you're an Australian and you'd love, and you're, whether you're part of the program or if you'd love to join and get some one-to-one coaching, and he might jump on some of our group coaching calls to teach a bit of his copywriting magic as well. There's an Australian coach on the team now, and that's really exciting. He's been doing it for, I think, since 2019. He's been doing the drop shipping really successfully, as well as the copywriting. So that's super cool.
Yeah, he's doing pretty big numbers too. I had a chat with him about his business, and he's in a fun industry, I'll say that.
For sure. Yeah.
It's cool that he's joining the team. You know, maybe we pivot there, and we should probably do an episode on all the stuff that's coming to the course in 2024 and like why it's coming there, right? Mm. So it can't always be the Ben and John show. And so to get Blake in here to talk about copywriting, Layton's already in there. He's going to add more to the Shopify side of things. If we can get Matt in there to talk about importing, Valentina, Elliot's number one coach, who we spoke a lot about at these events, she's going to come in there and talk mindset. The entire SEO section is getting redone. The Google Ads is getting redone. The GA4 is getting redone. There's just so much that's coming to this course in 2024 that I'm excited about personally. Wow. And it, you know, hopefully helps remove us. We can't be everything to everyone. We definitely have areas that we're rock stars in, but the more we can incorporate our community and really highlight some of the people in our community who are rock stars,
yeah,
the better this course is going to get.
Yeah, no, we've got some really talented people in our community, and it's exciting, you know, to be able to provide a platform and an opportunity for them to, you know, share what they're amazing at with the world. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be cool.
So more from this event. I keep getting test runs on the SEO course. I did it in Minneapolis. We did a section. We did VIP day. You gave me 3 hours here to just hammer things into people's heads. And it was two points I was trying to hammer home, which is one keyword, one page, and give Google what it wants. That was essentially the 3 hours and just giving you many, many variations of what that looks like. I'm excited to get this into the course. It has been frustrating to get out of my head, if I'm honest. I teach it a very certain way in one-on-one consulting and in coaching. I'm excited to get this in the course. I'm excited that that's actually coming in 2024, and I appreciate these live events at being a run-through. I think a lot of people were overwhelmed trying to pack this into 3 hours, and so I appreciate the run-throughs. I think people will like, you're going to see these presentations in the course, and then hopefully you'll get to see the way I unpack it into a step-by-step process as well. It's been fun. What did you talk about? I know you had a couple windows of time.
Yeah, certainly the one that I like, that I enjoyed, I think, there was one I did that I didn't do in Minneapolis, and there was one I did that I did do in Minneapolis at our last one. The one I really enjoyed quite a bit, which is kind of ties in with some of the stuff you talking about content and SEO, was talking about retargeting and email marketing and how people can or should be moving. You've got to run ads, as we talked about there, if all you can do is run ads, that's a window that's going to close on you at some point in time in the future. Mm-hmm. It's only going to get more expensive. It's the most competitive place you can be in. It's not a great way to build your business just around ads. Great way to get started. Great way to get your first sales for sure. I don't think that's going to change. But SEO, you're a content-based sort of strategy. One of the big gaps that I see a lot of people leaving at the moment is that, you can get all this traffic to your site. Like we, as entrepreneurs and high ticket dropshippers, we talk a lot about I call it front end traffic, like your ads, your SEO, getting and trying to cram more and more of that onto your site. But the reality is for a lot of people, they just don't convert that well. These days for e-commerce, a customer's going to have between 1 and 50 touch points with your business. And one of the things that I was going to highlight, I didn't end up doing the GA4 presentation, but I was looking in the analytics in one of our sites, Backyard Bloke site, just to sort of see I was doing a report on customer journeys, which tied into this. There were people who were who clicked an ad 15 times before they purchased. They still, that's a lot of ad spend there, but they still purchased, right? And it's wild to think you really needed to click 15 times before you bought something. Or there are people that were coming on 6 organic visits and ad visits, and then coming as a direct visit, like putting the website name into the search bar. And I think we don't think about that is that the more opportunities you can provide people to come back to your website, while at the same time building traffic that you own. So every time you get somebody onto your email list, that's traffic you own. You get kicked off Merchant Center, for example, you've still got an email list. Nobody can take that away from you unless you really mistreat it and you get spammed. You go to people's spam inboxes. But I see there's a massive opportunity there for high ticket dropshippers because almost nobody does retargeting or email marketing particularly well. It's kind of one of those things that you've got to do. And this is what people said to me after that session. They're like, oh man, yeah, I know about this stuff and I know I should be doing it, but I just kind of always put it to one side because I'm focused more on this and that and the other. And it's kind of doesn't make sense. You often call it having a leaky ship, a leaky funnel, right? You can put a lot in the top, but if you've got holes throughout it, people just disappear. Like your traffic disappears forever. It doesn't come back. So you've really got to be proactive in terms of providing people, staying in front of them, staying at the front of their mind, giving them the avenues back to your site and the touch points that they need to get to the point of purchase, and communicating with them a range of different information. Because if you've got 3 or 4 customer avatars coming to your website, they're not all thinking the same thing. They don't need the same, all need exactly the same information presented to them. And so retargeting ads, email marketing provides you a lot of opportunities to really customize the customer journey. Because with ads and SEO, you're kind of locked into the formats that Google or other search engines is going to provide you, right? You can't mess with that a lot, but with retargeting, with email marketing, you can really provide more unique touch points for people, and often more unique than what your competitors are doing. And so, yeah, look, we'll probably talk about that more here. there's going to be more about that going in our course next year. Another one of those things, I think. And so that's something I'm really excited about because I see there's a massive opportunity there.
Like there's a report I used to use in the old GA where it would show you first-time visitors are worth X and repeat visitors, no matter if it's 2 or 100, are worth this. And it's usually 2X more, if not up to 10X more is the highest I've seen in there. And so it's funny, you say it takes one touch point to 50 touch points, right? Too often we hear from students, I'm getting all these clicks and ads and none of them are converting, right? That's the one touch point. And so if you're not doing remarketing, if you're not doing email marketing, if you're not doing some of the really simple stuff in remarketing, you're losing all those people. They're never coming back to find you, right? Maybe they remember your name and you'll come back, which again, the importance of having a good name, not just like fansdirect.com or somethingsurplus.com, something actual memorable so they remember to come back. But there's so many easy wins in the remarketing and the email marketing. I think that's what stood out to me. What really stood out to me, and you said this is in the course, which is hilarious because no one there knew what you were talking about, was setting up. So I've heard you say set up 7-day, 14-day, 21-day, 28-day audiences, right? And for a long time, I was like, well, what's the point of that? And I had been teaching like a different way to do this on Facebook. And then you showed me how to do it on Google, how you're like hit people for 7 and then exclude them, hit these people for 7, then exclude them, then hit these people for 7. And I was like, oh, that's fucking genius, right? And so I think if maybe someone here is a Captain Planet fan, maybe they're old enough, just immediately in my brain, all I heard was when our powers combine. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. If you and I can just meet in the middle, we're going to make our students so much fucking money of like being able to teach this stuff. I'm very excited, right? I'm very excited for our partners that we brought on and hopefully future partners that we bring on as well to implement this stuff right away and give us case studies to say, this is the exact way to mesh all of this stuff together and then, take off like a rocket ship.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you learned something, Ben.
It's the only thing. I had a good time, though. It was a very good time. It's again, surreal to see all those people. Look, you and I don't make money on these events. I don't know anyone who really makes money on events. My coach, Elliot Rowe, just stopped doing his. It's not a financial win. It's a big time burden. It's a lot to ask. And so, we're not doing this to get rich. And in fact, we lose money. We lost a lot of money in Minneapolis. We lost a lot of money in here in Noosa. But it's about the community. It's getting these people together, really getting to know people. They can see us on a video and think whatever they're going to think. But if we get it together, it's so different in person. Like just being able to see you, right? Your presence alone, you have a different feeling for someone when you meet them in person. You find your people. There's people there talking about a Christmas get together in Melbourne. Yeah. That's cool, man. That's so, so cool. I know in Minneapolis, we have little groups of people who started masterminds out of there. And so to be able to foster that, it's worth whatever it ends up costing us. Like it's not even up for debate. It's
all
so
those
cool.
All those guys are going to be way more successful because they have that community.
Yeah.
Like I said it at the event. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be as successful as I am if I didn't know you. Where did we meet? At an event.
Yeah.
First time face to face. So
I said the same thing, right? Yeah. Leanna, Leighton, met them both at events. Elliot met at an event. Valentina met at his event. And just it's the George always said this to me. My old mentor George would say relationships beat algorithms, and he's talking about not having to run ads. It's all about the relationships you build with your customers. I think that extends everywhere. It's the relationships you build everywhere in life that are the real boons to your success or boons to your health or whatever it is. It's a relationship you build, not some random thing you saw or some Zoom or some group coaching that we do. Honestly, it's like when you form those bonds with people, that's what really makes life special.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. not just drop shipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat drop shipping businesses to PDF drop shipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.